Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, Tegna, and the Odyssey Group, Locked On Podcast Network, allowing you to fan the way you've always wanted to. You don't always have time in your busy life to follow along everything to do with your favorite team as closely as you would like. You don't really have the time to dig around and find all of the stats and everything you need. Well, don't worry. All you got to do is tune into the Locked On Podcast Network and all of their wide variety of shows and hosts to find your favorite team, and you can be the fan you've always wanted to be without having to do the legwork yourself. Don't worry about finding out everything. You got a busy life. Let the Locked On Podcast Network and all of their hosts do the job for you. Just follow along on your favorite platforms, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Podcast, whatever. Just follow along your favorite ones, like and subscribe to your favorite shows and hosts, and you can be kept up to date whenever a new episode drops, keeping you in the loop so you always have the most up-to-date information about your favorite teams. The Locked On Podcast Network, helping people rule the water coolers from the very beginning. Locked On Podcast Network, your teams every single day. All right, so Game 3 didn't exactly go as planned for the Braves, as the Reds got a little bit... Got a little bit of comeuppance. They got a little bit back at the Braves there as the Braves get blown out 12-3. Does put the Braves back in second place as Philadelphia was able to string together a win versus LA, which is not what I was expecting, but oh well. I'm not terribly mad. You know, you never want to get blown out, obviously, but I wasn't really looking for the Braves to sweep. It was nice to see they had a tie for first, but that's... You're not going to sweep every series. The Reds are not an awful team. We've talked about how they don't really have much of a bullpen at all, but they're not a bad team. They're actually better record-wise than the Braves. Now, granted, a lot of that is because they're playing a lot of bad teams in the Central, but they do have a good offense. And what you saw yesterday was a couple of different things. One, you saw when the Reds are able to actually make consistent contact. They've got guys that can hit monster home runs. They had five homers in the game yesterday, and they can get them quickly. And for Kyle Muller, there's no other way around saying it. Muller was awful yesterday. I think he would be the first to tell you that as well. That was by far the worst start he's had. The last two starts he's had as a big leaguer have been his two worst, as his ERA is up over four now. He was immediately sent back down to the minors. Jacob Webb takes his spot up until probably Tuesday when Waskari Noah is expected to make his return against Miami. And for Muller, this is kind of that other side of Kyle Muller. This is kind of what you've seen a little bit more in the minors. We hadn't really seen this yet in the majors, but this is kind of what you get with Kyle. And this is why there was a lot of reliever risk with Muller, why a lot of people weren't as high on Kyle Muller as it would have as his first few starts would have made you assume people were. He's got premium stuff, but the command just kind of comes and goes. And when the command is on, he's outstanding. We've seen him do that plenty of times where when the command is forthright, he's able to throw all of his pitches and kind of spot his fastball up a little bit. He's able to dominate. He still doesn't go deep in games right now. That tends to be more of a pitch count issue. But, you know, generally he's not going to get you into too much trouble. When he leaves, you're in a good spot in the game. Unfortunately, when the command is not on, he's pretty much unplayable. That's why there's that big reliever risk thing with him. Because the problem is when he's not on, his fastball command is zero. And that you're just not going to be a successful pitcher at the major leagues if you don't have command of your main pitch. It doesn't always have to be a fastball, but you do need to have some semblance of a fastball to be able to succeed at the big league level. Yesterday was not it for him. 72 pitches in only 2 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 6 runs, all of them earned, gave up a grand slam, 3 walks, and only 1 strikeout in that 2 1/3 inning. Faced 15 batters in 2 1/3 inning. Never what you want to see out of your starter. He'll be back, though. I'm not all that concerned with Kyle. I would have been more shocked if he hadn't had one of these outings. This is typical for young guys. Everybody runs into these, and for Kyle, it was going to happen at some point. There's just, looking at his career scope of work, there was no way that he was just going to come up and never have any of these blow-up outings. And it's okay. Once you get that one out of the way, go down there, get right by working with Mike Maroth, who really should be the pitching coach for Atlanta right now. come back up and be ready to go. Might come up in the bullpen. I've been kind of toying around with the idea that him and Tukey both could find their way in the bullpen. Jacob Webb is going to be gone as soon as Huascar's back, as Huascar wasn't amazing in his last outing, but did get up over 80 pitches. The Braves feel fine. He was throwing enough strikes. His arm slot was where they wanted it to be, so they feel comfortable about having him come right back into the rotation as long as he holds it down. Once Ian Anderson gets back, this team will be back to pretty much full strength, and that'll be when you really see the Braves and what we should have expected most of the way through 2021. Obviously, no Ronald Acuna, which is going to put a damper on a lot of things. But overall, while the 12-3, obviously, not what you want to see, the offense really wasn't that bad. They scratched across 7 hits. They just weren't able to do a whole lot with them. Ozzy did homer again, gets to 20 homers. That is his third full season. I would call it the third consecutive full season anyway of reaching 20 homers. And I think that it's either a record for the Braves or it ties him with Ron Gant or something. But Ozzy Albies quickly becoming the best second baseman the Braves have ever had. And Ron Gant, technically, I guess, was more of a left fielder than a second baseman. So Ozzy getting his 20th homer. He's got a real shot in the last 47 games here of getting close to 30. I don't know if he'll pop off another 10 more, but he's at least got a pretty decent shot at equaling his average of 24 homers a year. AJ Minter made his return to the big league club. So he actually went 2 clean innings, no hits, no walks, with 3 Ks. Hopefully he figured out some mechanical adjustments. Because if he did, then if you can get Minter back on the same plane that he was last year, then that's very, very good for the bullpen. And while the bullpen has been pretty good for the last month and a half or so, yesterday, not a great day for the bullpen. AJ was the only pitcher that the Braves threw that had a clean inning. Edgar Santana allowed a home run of his own. And Josh Tomlin just got absolutely beat up. Not that shocking when you throw a soft-tossing righty against a lineup with a ton of left-handed power. Things can go bad pretty quickly. Tomlin went 3 2/3, gave up 8 hits, 5 earned runs, gave up 3 homers on the day. Did have 5 strikeouts. But 3 homers, that's kind of what you're going to see with Tomlin. The more you throw him, the more homers he's going to give up. Yesterday, not a grand showing for Josh Tomlin. As I would imagine, his time on the Braves is probably done as well. That's one of those guys that I would have Mueller kind of take his spot if we get to that point. Ian's probably going to take Tomlin's spot. I would imagine Almonte is going to go for Eddie Rosario, I would imagine. Then they can kind of play around a little bit. Like I've said before, Jesse Chavez and Josh Tomlin are pretty similar, except Jesse Chavez is still a good major league pitcher, and Josh Tomlin isn't. Jesse's kind of hit a little bit of struggles here lately, but not to the point of giving up 3 homers in a game. So for Tomlin, it's okay to say that he did a much better job than people should have ever expected when the Braves acquired him, but that time is probably done. The best thing that he does for the team, similarly to Nick Markakis last year and at long points of his Braves tenure, is what he does off the field and what he does in the clubhouse and what he does for other pitchers and players around him. So let him go ahead and let him transfer into that role, but for now, you're going to have to kind of save that bullpen for guys that can do some things for you. Josh Tomlin kind of passed that point in his prime. Overall, though, I'm still happy with winning the series, and that's kind of where I go with on that. We'll talk about that a little bit more, as well as the upcoming series for Atlanta with Washington that gets underway tonight. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take our first break. When we come back, we'll get talking about that right here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you, as always, by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best protein bar in the universe, and I don't think I'm exaggerating at all. If there were enough aliens, they would come to the Earth and actually just to buy some Built Bars and see how it is that they're able to create this fantastic mix of protein, texture, and flavor that they've never seen before. Also, Built Bar, by the way, sponsoring a bunch of NILs for BYU, Brigham Young University. So not only do they make great protein bars, they're also looking out for college kids and college football and helping some guys earn scholarships to begin with. So make sure you go to BuiltBar.com. Try out all their delicious flavors. Build your own box. You can try 2 of each flavor. Try all sorts of flavors. I guarantee you'll find something you like. I'm a salted caramel and birthday cake fan myself, but hey, I've got a refined palate. All you got to do is go there, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get $15 off your total purchase. Go to BuiltBar.com. Try them out for yourself. Embrace the craze. Built Bar, building the perfect protein bar. Welcome back, everybody, to another segment of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network yet again. So, like I said, never want to get blown out. 12-3 is never fun. Giving up five homers is never a good time. But, again, you won the series, and that's what you need to do. That's what the Braves need to do. If you keep winning series, you're going to win. You're going to win the East, and that's really all we're focused on here. The Braves at 59-56. Still what? So that is, they've won 8 of their last 11. Have not played very badly at all. Yesterday's blowout notwithstanding. But that gives them a little bit of time. That's 3 consecutive series that they've won, and now they get to go and face Washington for another 3-game set before facing the Marlins and the Orioles. So the Braves have a good opportunity here to make up a fair bit of ground. You're playing 3 really bad teams. And tonight, the Braves get another look at Josiah Gray for Washington. This should be a good matchup. It's going to be Charlie Morton taking the bump for Atlanta, facing off against a very talented young arm for Washington. And we saw Gray last time. And what you should really know about Gray, Gray is a very good prospect. I don't know that I would call him elite. He's been very good so far. I mean, he's got a 4 ERA, but that's because his first couple starts with LA were not good. But he's been, you know, he's got 3 starts total, 133 whip. He's got 25 strikeouts in 18 innings pitched. So you're actually seeing a good bit of Ks from him. That's not something that you typically saw from him in the minors. If you're trying to find somebody to kind of take a look at, Josiah Gray is somebody who's, I would say you should probably think of him in terms of like an Ian Anderson. They don't pitch the same way. Ian, I think, is more of a strikeout guy than Gray. Obviously, they don't quite utilize the same stuff. Gray's a fastball slider changeup guy versus Ian's fastball curveball changeup. Obviously, Ian has the better changeup of the two. But as far as the rest of it goes, they're pretty similar. As far as the velocity that they bring up, things like that, in the K rates for him. Now, this year for AAA, Gray had a K percentage of, or K per nine of 12.64. It was really, really good. And he doesn't walk a lot of people typically. He's actually walked more in the majors than he has at any stop along the way. Not that shocking. Better hitters are going to take more. Now, granted, it's only an 18-game sample. But normally he's going to sit right around 10, in between 9.5 to 10 K per nine. He's been pretty good for all of his minor league career. Never had a FIP above 3 up until he got to LA, until AAA for LA this year, where his FIP was at 3.98. His big league FIP right now is 6.24. So he's had a little bit of luck. He's a negative F4 value if you're into that sort of thing too. But he's a guy that, very similar to a lot of young guys. If his stuff is on, if his command is on, he'll probably have a really good showing. But the Braves have seen him once now, so there's not really going to be any surprise. I've said before, the first time that you pitch to people, the pitcher has the distinct advantage because the hitters don't really know what to expect. They don't know how his balls move. They may see video on him, but they've never seen him in person. Video can only tell you so much. As you can hear, my dog, who apparently doesn't like talking about Washington very much, can't say that I blame him too often. But for Gray, the name, get to him early. It's what you should have been doing with Cincinnati. That's what you need to do with most of these teams. Get to him early. Get to him early and get game one out of the way. I always feel game one is the most important game in a series. If you're able to take game one, it takes a lot of the pressure off of you. All of the pressure then goes onto the team that you're playing, because now they have to win 2 out of 3. They got to win the next 2 in order to salvage a series, and nobody wants to lose a series. So if you're able to get out to a good start in game one, get to their bullpen early. Washington just simply doesn't have much in the way of talent left over. They still have Juan Soto, obviously. And we still know at times everybody can kind of get hot and go for it, but they don't have a lot there featured-wise. Apologies for that, by the way. I had to go take the dog out of the room as he seems bound and determined to be a little a-hole today. But to the point of what the Braves need to do against Washington, take game one. Cincinnati's going to be playing Philadelphia, like I said. For Philadelphia, I actually feel like that's a pretty even matchup for them. Both of them kind of have the same issues. They've both got powerful offenses. I don't know that I would call them good offenses, but they're definitely powerful ones. The teams match up pretty well. Philly at 60-55, Cincinnati at 62-54. And they're going to have Tyler Mahle taking on Zach Wheeler. So I'm going to pencil that in as a victory for Philadelphia tonight. So for the Braves, you obviously don't want to fall back any farther. Take this game, and you got the right guy going to win the first game. Charlie Morton, who, after that really difficult start to the year, has really turned it around, sitting at 10-4 if you care about win-loss record, which I don't. More importantly, you got the 3.52 ERA. The whip is what I'm looking at for Charlie. It's a 110 whip right now. It's not high at all. He's not allowing a lot of walks or hits. He's kind of allowing one or the other, which is perfectly fine. Just don't give up both. 128 innings pitched. He's got 148 Ks in those 128 innings, 44 walks. He's a guy that I'm looking for. Now, Gray, in his time with Washington, I should say, is a 1.8 ERA with a 120 whip, 10 innings pitched and 12 Ks with 4 walks in those. So those walks, he will walk you if you give him a chance. Like I said, he's kind of like Ian. If that command starts to kind of falter a little bit, you can get to him. If you can get to him early, you can make him throw enough pitches. Like a lot of young guys, being able to be efficient has not really been his forte so far, and you can get into the Washington bullpen. This is a series that Atlanta should do very well with, as we've got Morton today. I would assume the rest of it will be even more advantageous to Atlanta. Not really that worried about this series. Obviously, you don't want to see anybody really struggle, but you have Max Fried and Patrick Corbin going tomorrow, which advantage should be Max Fried. And then you'll have Drew Smyly versus Paulo Espino. If you've never heard of him, don't feel bad. He is a rookie for them, and he's actually been okay. He's been pretty decent, 3.74 ERA. Not really a high-caliber prospect, though. Doesn't strike out a lot of guys. And Smyly has been better of late, but needs to kind of tune it up. His last couple starts have been a little wishy-washy for my taste. Hasn't been hurt too badly, but also hasn't really been as sharp as you would like to see. Overall, though, I think that's a good matchup for the Braves. You get your two best starters in there, and then you end with Smyly. And then when you go to Miami, we'll get to see Waskari Noah come back on Tuesday. So that'll be a nice little setup. Tuki Toussaint right now is scheduled to go on Monday versus Braxton Garrett for Miami. And then it's supposed to be Waskar's return versus Sandy Alcantara, which will be... That's the best matchup, I think. And then we'll get to see Jesus Luzardo on Wednesday. So, name of the game, just, again, focus. As long as you can win 2 out of 3, take the series. And that's all I'm looking for you to do. Philly, at some point, put the pressure on Philly to have to match you series for series. Don't worry about having a sweep. Just make sure that you win 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, and you'll find yourself in first place. And that's really all that matters. So we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we've got some minor league news to talk about. As far as one of the draft picks for the Braves made his debut last night, and it was absolutely electric, so don't go anywhere. We'll talk about that and some other things coming up next right after this here on Locked On Braves. Today's episode of Locked On Braves is brought to you by Wild Alaskan Company. We all know that we should eat more fish and seafood to get our omega-3s, fatty acids, and proteins, but the seafood counter can be intimidating. Which fish tastes the best? What type of cut do I need? Can you really be sure about the quality? Well, the Wild Alaskan Company answers all of those questions. They take the guesswork out of buying wild-caught seafood. You're used to having a lot of choices when it comes to what you eat, but it matters where your food comes from. Get your nutrition from nature. Get it from Alaska. The Wild Alaskan Company sources wild-caught seafood from Alaska and the Pacific Northwest. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced wild-caught seafood right to your front door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination, and every month there are different specials to explore. Each shipment contains premium, wild-caught, individually wrapped portions of delicious seafood that's ready to prepare and easy to cook. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be, always wild, never farmed or modified, and no antibiotics. You can adjust, pause, or cancel your membership at any time, and they offer 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Get your nutrition from nature with Wild Alaskan Company, and right now you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/MLB. That's wildalaskancompany.com/MLB for $15 off your first box, wildalaskancompany.com. Make sure to use the URL, let them know that we sent you. Wild Alaskan Company, get wild. Today's episode is also brought to you by BetOnline. As I say all the time, BetOnline is always a premier sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network and Locked On Braves in particular. If you ever have the gambling bug, the itch to win a little bit of money, to show your friends that you, yes, you are smarter than the average bettor, go to BetOnline, put your money where your mouth is. You can find lines for just about everything, just about every sport, cricket, horse racing, baseball, football. We got preseason football action. If you really want to get into it, you can get you some preseason football lines in there, and you can maybe find a way to steal yourself some real money. go to betonline.ag, use the promo code Locked On, and you're going to get a 50% deposit match on your initial deposit, which means if you put in $100, they're going to throw in another 50, and you've got some free money to play with and maybe turn that 50 into 100, 200, 1,000. I don't know. Shoot for the stars. Aim for a million. I don't know. The point is, you'll have free money to play with. It's house money. You can turn that into real money with BetOnline. Go to betonline.ag and use the promo code LockedOn and get started today. Welcome back, everybody, to the third and final segment on this week's episodes of Locked On Braves. And we are going to talk about one of the draft picks in the 2021 class who made their debut last night, Ryan Cusick, the first-round pick out of Wake Forest, just like Jared Schuster was a season ago, made his debut last night. And those A-ball hitters were absolutely no match for him. Went three innings. Seven strikeouts in those three innings. So out of nine outs, seven of them were strikeouts. And that's the name of the game. He is a big dude with a big fastball to match. And he is a guy that I do not expect to see him facing A-ball hitters for very long. It's just not fair, really. He's just a big, big man with a big 100-mile-an-hour fastball, which we saw his third pitch of the game was 100 miles an hour. After that, started sitting 96 to 98, which is absolutely plenty. He's a big dude. Think Kyle Muller sized. He's right-handed, 6'6", 225-pounder. I would say that he's heavier than that. I would say he's probably closer to 250, but he's almost exactly Kyle Muller sized, just from the right side. And he's even got kind of a similar windup to him, or similar pitching motion. He's a guy that just, it's all about stuff. Tons of strikeouts, struggles with walks. That's the big thing. When he's able to keep the walks down, he dominates. And that's what he can do. As far as what he is, I'd put him in the same category as Muller. There's big, big, big potential here. It's a little bit of a riskier pick in round one for a guy that really only had one really good season in college and struggles with command at times. But you can't deny that if you're able to just tweak a couple of things mechanically, you're talking about somebody that could be a big steal in this draft. And the Braves obviously have a very good relationship with Wake Forest. Wake Forest is very cutting edge, especially with their pitching, as far as how they go about training their pitchers and figuring out the pitches for them and the way that they need to go about their business. The Braves and Wake Forest work very close together. So this was a little bit, this wasn't a hard one to guess, especially with no 2020 really. Still not a ton of scouting. You had to figure that going back somewhere they knew was going to be a big priority for them. And Cusick, though, to be fair to Cusick, I like Cusick more than I like Jared Schuster. I think Schuster has better command. I think Schuster has a higher floor. I think he's got a floor of a major league rotation piece. Cusick, obviously, there's a lot of reliever risk when you talk about guys that have a lot of walks and don't always exactly know where the ball is going. But there's no doubt that Cusick has the much higher upside. You just don't see dudes that just fireball 100 miles. Well, you do see that a lot nowadays, but it's not all that common in the Braves lore. It's going to be rare to see a guy that's going to come in and be able to throw harder than Waskar Anoa consistently. And that's something that Cusick can do. Not only that, he debuted a really hard-biting slider last night, which he never really showcased at Wake Forest. Was throwing around 88, 89. And that, if he's got that in his arsenal and something that he can control, that's a difference maker of a pitch. Because he's basically been the big fastball and a slower curveball, about 81, 82. So fast for a curve, but significantly slower than his fastball. The problem is, if you're talking about dropping off nearly 20 miles an hour, it's a little bit of a tell. So now he's kind of debuted that slider, which is in between there, miles per hour wise. It has a nice sharp break, and it did very, very well last night. I don't know how fast Cusick is going to move, but I have a feeling he's going to be a lot like Spencer Strider, where they're not going to keep him in A-ball very long because those hitters are just not going to be able to catch up to that fastball consistently. So you might actually see them for as long as he stays in A-ball, they'll probably let him have a few starts to really get into the work of things. But once they feel like he's really got it going, they might have him work more on the off-speed than they do the fastball. Strider was doing that for a while where he wasn't using his changeup because he's working on his death pitch, which is what he calls his slider. and working on his slider and his curve a little bit more and kind of shelved the change. Now in Double A, we've started to see him use the changeup a lot more, and we saw him pitch yesterday. Wasn't a gigantic K game for him like we're used to seeing, but for Spencer Strider, he's starting to really come into his own. Facing Double A after not pitching last year, really, or not having a lot last year, I mean, you can't really be upset with anything that Strider has done this year. Strider's a guy that I think you're going to find him in the top 10 in the organization next year. I would have him as high as 5 or 6, honestly. I think that he's that good of a prospect right now. And I think Cusick can be along the same lines. How fast he moves in the system is going to depend on a couple factors. If they're going to keep him as a starter, then it's going to factor in about how quickly he can kind of dial in his command. It's going to be a lot like Mueller, and I would expect to see a rise kind of like Mueller. If he ends up showing that he just doesn't have enough command consistently, they bump him to the pin, he's going to move blindingly fast. If you were to put him in the pin, he could get big league hitters out today with that fastball, curveball, and slider combo. That's the type of stuff that you're talking about. The command's not where you want it, obviously, but that's the same for all young guys. And whenever you're a younger guy with premium stuff like that, command is usually not as sharp because you never really needed it as often because you could throw 100 miles an hour. And it's very hard to hit 100 miles an hour. And for Cusick, I want to see what the Braves development staff can do with him, because if they saw him and thought, hey, it's just a small tweak away before getting his command dialed in, then that's going to be an absolute steal of the draft pick, and it might go down as one of my favorite Alex Anthopoulos draft picks, period. It would be a very, very nice addition. Got a lot of the other guys from 2019 who are really, really starting to stand out. Vaughn Grissom, I've talked about on the show before. He just keeps hitting. He continues to do so. That's a name that you're going to really want to keep an eye on. There's a lot of these guys. Michael Harris, obviously. Vaughn Grissom went to the same school as Riley Green, so got overshadowed a little bit. But Vaughn, very, very good player in his own right. Doesn't really have one carrying tool other than maybe his batter's eye, but sprays the ball to all fields. Is starting to really develop some power, has nice, quick hands. He's a guy that I like a lot. Plays third base and plays it really well. He's got some good pieces in the minors that have a chance to rise in the rankings, but even if they don't, a lot of guys right now, a little bit lower down, that are starting to make some headway, and they're going to play big portions of the Braves minor league system in the next couple of seasons. So a lot to watch out for there. Tyler Tolvey from Kennesaw State, he is already made his debut with the Complex League. We'll start to see a few of the other guys really start to branch out here and see where they start assigning everybody. But for now, welcome to the club, Ryan Cusick. Good to see him get his debut, and good to see him mowing down hitters left and right in his debut. Looking forward to see what he can bring us and at what level we will see him move through next year. And for us, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much to everybody for tuning in. We will be back again on Monday right here on Locked On Braves.